Now, as I was prophesying, prayer is prophecy. You understand that? Prayer is prophecy. So you may, we are not talking about that save the Lord today. We are prophesying by prayer. Let wickedness die. Let the wicked people give way. Let the wicked people fall down. Let them fail. Let the judgment of God be visited upon them.
Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 2, from verse 12 to 15. Therefore, my friends, as you have always obeyed, and not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky, as you hold firmly to the word of life. And then I will be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. Hallelujah. And then Pastor Fred will be able to boast when he appears before the Lord. And then Reverend Dr. James and all the pastors that are seated here, who have once preached to you before, who has taught you before, when they appear before the Lord, they will be able to boast that the people that you have assigned to me, the people that you have given me to mentor, these people have lived a life that glorifies you. Hallelujah. And so when I was reading and I saw this part, I said, wow, then I need to do my work well. Hallelujah. I should be able to appear before the Lord. And when they mention some of the people that I have ministered to before, my head will be lifted up. Amen. So that I will not be shy of how they have lived their lives. Our sermon for today is entitled, Let Your Lamp Shine. Or keep your light or your lamp burning. Hallelujah. There's a little confusion with me with the lamp and the light. Amen. But I will explain the confusion. Keep your lamp burning. Hallelujah. Let's go on. Now the scripture we have just read relates to the church in Philippi, or the church of Philippi. And a little background search indicates that the church had a few problems. There were some challenges in the church. So, some arguments, some disagreements. And Paul, being their papa, had to write to them and to encourage them to proper Christian life, how to live in the world. It is true that we live in a world and there are people around us who are watching us. The day you decide that I have become a believer, the day you call yourself born again, the day you invited your friends to your baptism and they came from your office, some came from your home, some came from your husband's family, some came from your wife's family, and they have come to witness your baptism, you are making a statement that from today, or from that day onwards, your life is going to be different. Hallelujah. You have made a statement that when I come into the office, everything that is shrouded in darkness, everything that is shrouded in secrecy, anything that does not glorify the Lord, my life will not be part of it. It is a statement of a good conscience towards God. A statement that I make and say that wherever I go, I will be seen as a believer. Hallelujah. So the call for every believer is to shine as the stars. The call for every believer is to be like the stars, to shine. Amen. So I've already said that in the letter, Paul was exhorting the church to deal with their differences, to live in such ways that, or that make them shine as stars. We must understand that we live in a a perverse generation. The world that we live in is not necessarily Christian. Amen. The world that we live in is not born again. The world we live in does not accept most of the things that we talk about. So the world wants to be the world, and we are in the world. Hallelujah. The world wants to just be the world. They want to do whatever they like. But we are supposed to be the light in the dark world. Hallelujah. We are called to be the light. So the world around us is dark, wicked, and perverse. Hallelujah. We are witnesses to the daily occurrences, the things that we see around us. Every day, you see a young man dressed like a woman and is walking about. And he says that it's a free world. But that is the world we live in. I listen to the radio and somebody can call a president and insult him. We live in that is the world. Because they think that once I have a radio and I can buy credit and I can say anything I want to say, I can call the president and insult him. But the person doesn't know that it is God who makes kings. And God is the same God who takes away kings. Hallelujah. So we live in a world where anybody can wear anything and walk about. And when you complain, he says that it is my body. I dress the way I dress. What I like is what I wear. Hallelujah. We live in a world where people talk to their leaders anyhow. Because they think that, well, I am right. You may be right, but there is something we call decorum. Hallelujah. You may be saying the right thing, but say it with a certain amount of decorum. Hallelujah. That is the kind of world we live in. We live in a world where you send your child to school, the teachers sleep with her. Hallelujah. We live in a world where people take bribes. So bribery and corruption is a normal thing around us. Amen. But that is the world we find ourselves in. We see act of selfishness, greed, and pride, and disrespect, and even injustice around us. This is a real world. On a Sunday morning, everybody is holy. Those who take the bribe, they are holy. Those who disrespect, they are holy. Those who insult people, they are holy. Everybody who is involved in injustice, as long as the person is sitting in church, the person is holy, because we can pretend very well in church. Amen. But when we move into the real world, when we are confronted with this very issues that I have just mentioned, then the test of our Christianity will become real. Hallelujah. No, so the world we live in is dark. The world we live in is not necessarily a nice place. Hallelujah. But God has called us to be the light in the world. So we live in a dark world. Assuming this room is dark, and this pulpit is the only light that in this room, when this light or the pulpit refuses to shine, the place will remain dark. I'm talking about your family. Amen. I'm talking about the tribe you're coming from. I'm talking about the office you're coming from. I'm talking about where you do your business. It may be a dark place. It may be the way things are done in those places or at those places may not necessarily be bright. But God is calling us to stand out. I may live in the same office, do the same business, engage with the same people, live around people who are taking bribe. But when they walk into the office and they are looking for somebody to bribe, they must not find me. I must not be part of it. I shouldn't hide behind the scene and say, and then, hallelujah. And then you share it. And the people around you, they say, Abba, also for crowd or GB or Yemani B. We gave the pastor some. Every day you are talking about the Bible, you are doing your quiet time. But the things that the people in your office, when they are talking profanity, you are saying some. When you are talking injustice, you are part of it. When they disrespect people in authority, you are part of it. But you are supposed to be the light. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. We have been called to be the light in the world. We have been called to be the light to the people whose eyes are blinded by the devil. So they think that homosexuality is okay. Those whose eyes are blinded by the devil, so they think that cheating on people is okay. So they think that insulting people is okay. You are called to be the light. I always refer to my mother as one person that I grew up with. She's the chaplain of the home. She's the one who encouraged you to read the Bible. She's the one who will pray for you when you're going to school. And one thing that I have seen with my mother is that I know and I can say that I did not learn how to insult. Or if any of my siblings can insult, they did not learn it from my mother. Because she represented Christ very well in the family. Insult, you will not find with her. Hallelujah. And every day I talk about it. I say it with pride. But the other side, my father can insult. The man can insult. Hallelujah. But my mother, I learned it from him. Hallelujah. So the exhortation to keep our lamps burning suggests that we are to reflect the light of Christ. I needed to explain this thing a little bit because the lamp is different from the light. Hallelujah. The lamp is different from what? The light. We are the lamps. But that which burns within us is the light. Hallelujah. That which burns within us. John chapter 1 verse 5 onwards says that he is the light of the world. And he said that the same light came into the world and darkness could not comprehend it. It means that other versions say that the darkness could not tolerate it. Other versions say that the darkness could not stand it. When your light begins to shine, when you begin to shine in your office, people will not understand you. They will not understand why you have chosen to live your life in a particular way. They will not understand why you are in the university. Things are hard for you. You are struggling, but you choose not to have a sugar daddy to suffer and eat Gary. When people will not understand, they call you a fool. They will say that you don't understand what's going on. They will say that you are just naive. They say a lot of things. When you decide to be holy, they call you John. When you decide to be holy, they can call you Sister Mary. But sometimes it is good to be called Sister Mary so that you can glorify God. Hallelujah. There was a young lady when I was in school. Every time, she's a Christian. And when we're in school, when you approach the girl and you start talking to her about those things, say Jesus loves you. Everywhere. She's always wearing a long skirt, holding a book and a Bible. Everywhere, Jesus loves you is her mantra. You know, it is interesting to know that when we were graduating from school, from her class, or the whole that graduating year, she was the only female that graduated with the first class. Look, when we begin to live for Jesus and we begin to stand out for him, God will glorify himself even in our lives. When we stand for him and we begin to shine, God will glorify himself. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 21, I said, for you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. The purpose is that Christ has called us to be examples. When people see you and I, or see us, they should be able to see that this man looks like Christ the way he talks. This man looks like Christ the way he loves others. This man behaves like Jesus. Like the disciples, they said that this one, it looks as if they behave like Christ. And then we became Christians. Hallelujah. So there is an example that we are to follow. Christ is the light, and we are to reflect him. And I'll continue about, is that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made without. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. In him was the future of the world. In him was the peace of the world. In him was the joy of the world. In him was the greatness of the world. And he says that, and that life was the light of the world. Christ is the light of the world. But we are carriers of Christ in our bodies. You carry Christ with you when you enter into your family home and everybody is quarreling because one person has died and everybody wants to be the chairman of the funeral committee so that he can take some of the money. And then you are the peacemaker. You are reflecting Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. The light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, he said, be imitators of Christ. Be imitators of me, just as I also imitate Christ. Paul, this one speaks to the congregation and speaks to the pastors. He says that the pastors, let us live our lives such that when the church members look at us, they will be able to live in a particular way. But as the church members are looking at my life and they are walking in a certain way, I am also looking at Christ and I'm also imitating Christ, so that if somebody is following me, the person will not fall into a ditch. One day, Teen Chapel, a young man, he is not finished Teen Chapel. I don't know where he is now. He walked to me and said, Pastor Niwa, I want to tell you something. So he pulled me aside. He said, Pastor Niwa, you know what? I want you to understand that a lot of us are looking at you. A lot of us are following you. So if you fall, we all fall. He said, if you fall, we all fall. Hallelujah. They are watching us. Hallelujah. They go on your Instagram and see what you are talking about. They go on your Facebook. What is the pastor talking about? They look at your dressing. They look at your language. They sit in the same car with you. And somebody crosses you almost to the point of you crashing into the person. And he says, you insult him into your stomach. Hallelujah. He said, as I also imitate Christ, imitate me. Follow my examples. Follow the way I do my things. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 2 verse 6 said, the one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk the same manner as he walked. The one who says that I am a believer, it is not do something new in my life. It is not that only. It is not the rolling on the floor. It is not the anointing oil. But he says that the one who professes Christianity must live like him. Amen. He ought himself to walk the same manner as he walked. Jesus had all the power in this world. And then somebody comes to spit in his face. If it was you, what would have happened to that person's teeth? Hallelujah. And the guy who slapped him and said, tell us which of us slapped you. If it was you and I, maybe the person is going down. Because the anger in you that you will release, you will begin to curse. Many of us cannot carry the cross Jesus carried, because we are not ready to live for him. We want to live our own lives. We must walk in the same manner as he walked. And then Ephesians chapter 4:32, he said, be kind one to another. Be kind. I mentioned a few things. Kindness. Tender hearted. Forgiving each other. Forgiving each other. Just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Is there somebody here that you need to forgive? You must be the light. Is there somebody that you need to show kindness to? Is there an in-law at home that you have decided that, hey, over my dead body? Is there somebody in your office that you say that if it is, I'm the one that will sign that paper so that the person will get her promotion, it will never happen. So that is there a file that you have hidden somewhere because you don't want somebody to rise? Is there somebody that you are oppressing instead of bringing the person up, and yet you come and sing praise the Lord? Hallelujah. Meanwhile, somebody at home wants that paper signed so that he can go home and say, darling, but you're sitting on it. Somebody, some act of kindness, something that you need to do for somebody. And yet, you come, and you are coming to the office, and then the song you are singing, we praise thy name, O Lord. We praise thy name, O Lord. And that subordinate is looking at you, and he says, we praise thy name, O Lord. And he's wondering which kind of Lord you are praising. We praise thy name, O Lord. Hallelujah. And he's wondering, where does he go to church? What do they preach in that church? I went to visit a church member, and then I wasn't a pastor then, but that day I was the only person wearing the suit. Then we went to visit. Then one lady called me. He said, Osofoba, he spoke Ghana. He said, what at all are you teaching in the, that church of yours? And I said, what do you teach in the church? The lady you've come to visit does not respect. She has attitude. What at all are you teaching her in that church? That was the first day I regretted wearing coat to visit somebody. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. But that is it. When you get to the office, maybe I make a mistake and I come to your office. I say, oh, I'm looking for the deacon so and so. He's a deacon. Oh, Jesus. Now, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, Jesus tells his disciples, you are the light of the world. He said, as light, we are to illuminate, or we are to illuminate. I don't know, it's a big English, but this is English service, so you understand. we are to throw light on the things around us. We are to shine forth as light. And Jesus says that you are the light. Now, he is the light, but because we are in him, we have become the light of the world. Is that our lives are to be an ongoing witness to the reality of a Christian presence. Our lives must be an ongoing, it's not a one-time thing. Paul says that, he said that you obey me even in my absence. Hallelujah. He was thanking them that they obey him even when he is not there. It is not the kind of obedience that we do today. That when, you know, that when I was growing up, I grew up in a barracks. And you can have a policeman whose room is very dirty. Those days, they do inspection. So the officers will come and inspect your room. They go to your bedroom, go to your bathroom, go to your washroom, inspect everything. And if you don't have something in order, they will charge you. Your name will go into the big book. So when the inspection time is coming, everybody is working. Everybody is cleaning their toilet. Everybody is doing something. That is how many Christians behave today. Today, I am going to church, so I wear long skirt. Today, I'm going to church, so I don't insult. But Sunday, Monday, try me and see. Hallelujah. Amen. So, we are to live our lives to be an ongoing witness to the reality of Christ's presence in our lives. When we say we are believers, when people get close to us, the way you speak, how you relate to them, they should know that you're different. You are not like the other people. Amen. The believer is a light to the world because he or she is connected to the Lord Jesus. We must stay connected. The only way your lamp can shine or light up and shine is related or is connected to how related you are to Jesus. Amen. We are connected to Jesus through prayer. These days, we pray on the go. Amen. We pray on the go. Like I see some Sunday morning are praying. Then the ladies, when they are going to work and they are late, they hold the stair like that and they are doing makeup. And I've been watching it a lot. I like it when I see. So sometimes I can be watching them and they are doing makeup. And they are busy. They are driving mirror instead of looking behind. They are doing makeup. And then we have brought it into church. You know, prayer life is like that. So wake up, oh God, good morning, thank you. You know, today I'm very busy. I have an assignment in the office. So God, make everything work for me. There you are going. We pray on the go. God wants your time. God wants you to be God in your time. The time that you allot to him. We must be prayerful Christians. Not the kind of Christians that we have today that cannot pray for 30 minutes. 30 minutes prayer is too much. To be connected and to shine, you must be connected to Jesus. Hallelujah. Through the study and application of the word in our daily life. Study to show thyself approved. This word of the Lord, book of the Lord, must not depart from your mouth. Meditate upon it daily and be careful to do what is written therein. Meditate upon it. So it is. There's a difference between reading the word and studying the word. So if you are sitting in your office and you are not doing anything, you are reading the word, which is even wrong because you are using your boss's time to read Bible. They are not paying you to read Bible in the office. Hallelujah. Amen. They pay you to work. So after the 8 hours, then you can read your Bible. Or before the 8 hours, you read your Bible. But I don't go and sit in the office and say you are doing quiet time. If I'm your boss, I'll sack you. Hallelujah. Amen. Because I pay you to work. Amen. So is that read the Bible. Read the word daily. Be student of scripture. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. I've quoted that already. Is that, and then the next one is that we must live out the scriptures. Not only reading it, but living it out. Not only reading the Bible, but living it out. When you are angry, there must be a scripture that pops up in your head. When you are tempted, there must be a scripture that pops up in your head. When you are tempted to collect bribe, there must be a scripture. When you want to show injustice, there must be a scripture that pops up in your head. And you say, I think I crumble, but I will do it. Live it. It's a daily living. Hallelujah. It is not enough to know scripture. It is important that we make manifest the scriptures in our daily living. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Matthew chapter 5 verse 14. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Hallelujah. In Sawam, I was doing evangelism. I went with Maranatha. We used to go for missions. Then we went. Then five boys were going. Everybody was holding. Those days when you have a calling, fresh calling, you buy NIV study Bible. Then we put it in some bag and everybody's holding it. So we're going to church. Then we saw a young man who came to pass us. He was holding a polythene bag. Then he stopped. He looked at us. Then he looked at what we were holding. Look at us. And then he put his hand into his black polythene bag and pulled out his Bible and threw the rubber away. Hallelujah. He was going to church, but he was shy to hold the Bible. Amen. He was shy. He didn't want people to know that, he goes to church. So he put the Bible in a polythene bag. Many of us don't even want to carry big Bibles. You come to church, you're holding a small Bible. You are struggling to read it. And yet you're holding. You don't want people to know. Be the one that can fit into the lady's bag. Amen. You know, people must know that we are believers. We must not be shy that we are believers. You know, the day I support Liverpool, so when Liverpool was playing, I was making a lot of noise on the Teachable page, and then we won. Then immediately I sent a message. Now look at the way we are excited about football. Can we be excited about Christ like that? Can I go to my classroom and wear a t-shirt that says Jesus loves you? Or I love Jesus and not feel bad about it? Can I wear a t-shirt and write a scripture on it and not feel bad about it? Can I, you know, some of us, we wear those things. Even Calvary t-shirt, but I can't wear to certain places. Let your lamp, you cannot light up a light and then put it under a basket. So many of us, we are tongue-speaking, powerful believers on a Sunday morning. Powerful believers, Wednesday prayer meeting, when we are speaking in tongues, cage. But when we get out of this place, nobody knows whether you are a believer or not. Your light must shine. The world must see your light. The people around you must see your light. Your office, it must be evident and clear that you are a Christian. There is no, it's non-negotiable. You can't negotiate it. When you go to the office, I'm a believer. People are sitting on board meetings and they say, we need somebody to pray for us. The guy is, I'm sorry, praying, so not your, because he doesn't want to compromise himself. When he begins to pray and say some of the jargons, people will think that, hey, sorry. Hallelujah. Is that let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father. The Lord called the light as our good works. Your good works. Let men see your good works, that they may glorify your Father who is in heaven. The good works. My kindness, my love, my respect, my justice, my respect for my husband, my humility, my love for my wife. Let it be. You go to church these days, there are a lot of women in church. Their husbands don't go to church. There's a problem. It's a big problem. Especially you go to the villages. He said, let men see your good works. The good works is not only Sunday. Let it be seen out there. So that people will know that you are believers. Say, do everything without grumbling and arguing. Now we are talking about the scripture. He said that, like, you know, you go and sit in church. And say, that pastor, that pastor is too mean. This pastor, it is believers that talk about believers the more. And you are, there's a Muslim, there's a Buddhist sitting by you, and you are condemning the church. You are condemning the church. You are condemning the church. And the Buddhist that is thinking about wanting to become a Christian is wondering whether he or she is about to take the right step. We are grumbling. We talk about our church. You don't have to take your church problem to the marketplace. Church problems are to be solved in church. Hallelujah. You have a problem with your deacon, with your shepherd, with your pastor, with your leader, with anybody. Deal with it in church. Amen. We will go to court. Hallelujah. We will go to court. Amen. Do everything without grumbling. Do it joyfully. Serve the Lord with joy. Serve the Lord with gladness. So that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault. When people come close to you, or they have to give a testimony about you, what would they say about you? Recently, this year, my birthday, and then they called one of the teenagers to come and give a testimony and say, oh, what has Pastor Newell done for you? The guy took the microphone and said, Pastor Newell is good, though, but they're blasting. The pastor can blast you, and then you'll be sweating under the air condition. And I was sitting there. I said, is this the only thing you can say about me on my birthday? Hallelujah. Is the only thing you can say? But you see, this one is even on the lighter note. When somebody walks into your home, walks into your office, or meets your wife, or meets your husband, who is not a believer, and they start a conversation, and they know that you are a pastor, or you are a deacon, or you are a shepherd in a particular church, will the person be moved wanting to become a pastor? Or become a Christian, let alone become a deacon or a shepherd or a pastor? Because we are living in a world, a warped and a crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. Hold firmly. Not a little bit, a little mau and a little bit. Hold firmly. A man of God, a man, a deacon. He was in a Baptist church. I know him personally. He had he went to the office and he was accused of something. And then he was like, he's about to lose his job. And then he did everything. He prayed. Nothing came. He came to church. We prayed about it. Nothing happened. Then somebody in the church came to him. He said, oh, there's a place I can take you. When I take you, you will know the person who has taken the thing. So you need to go and buy some sheep and then white sheep. Then we'll go. And then the man said, hey, but I'm a deacon, oh. Hallelujah. He said that, but I'm a deacon. But the pressure, he was about to lose his job. And he was standing between going or not going. But somehow, he stood his ground. Thank God for the Baptist church. He stood his ground. Hallelujah. He stood his ground. And then he continued to pray. No, the testimony is that after some time, the man who took the thing came to his house. I want to tell you something. And the man apologized for all that he has taken him through. Hallelujah. God is working something out. God is working something out for you. And yet you are so much in a hurry. I know a young lady who says that, oh, my marriage is delaying. So I just need a man to get me pregnant so that I can have a child. Who told you that even if you sleep with a man, 5 of them, 10, who told you that you even get pregnant? And who told you that even if you get pregnant, the pregnancy would stand? It is God who is working out his own thing. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we try to bend corners in order to help God. Hallelujah. Amen. So he said, as you hold on firmly to the word of God, if we truly live according to his word, we will reflect his character. But the fruit of the Spirit is joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Senior Pastor explained all these things last week, so I won't talk about it. But all these things is the uniform that we wear. Like the way you see a policeman, and then when you see a policeman from afar, you know that this one is a policeman. Hallelujah. Or you see soldiers, they have different divisions. And then all of them have certain things that you know, this is infantry. This is what, I don't know all of them, you know. Then you know. So when people see these things in your life, kindness, joy, peace, love, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, the thing that you need to blow up and begin to turn tables around in the office and say, this world. Then people will know that you have something that they don't have. You come close to you and find out what the secret is. John chapter 13, verse 35 says that this is how everyone will recognize that you are my disciples when they see the love you have for each other. Amen. Hallelujah. To shine is to reach out to the people around us. To shine is to reach out. Talk about Jesus. Talk about your faith. I like the Jehovah's Witnesses. When they come, you sack them, they will come again. Hallelujah. They will come and come until no you and sometimes even if you hide, they say, oh, you better try and wait for him. They are ready to go to every length in order to talk about their faith. Try to take the gospel with you wherever you go. Everywhere you go. And be ready to defend the faith when the need arises. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 15. Be ready to defend the faith. How can you defend the faith when you don't know scripture? You know the young lady that the senior pastor came to play the video. She was just sitting there and the woman was just misquoting scripture. And she was laughing because there's nothing there. Hallelujah. Be ready to defend your faith. I'm not saying go and fight, but defend your faith. Know scripture. Correct certain things with scripture. Hallelujah. In conclusion, I'm ending. The creation account reveals how God ministered light to the formless, void, and dark world. Creation account. Bible says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And now the earth was formless, void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. There was void. There was darkness. I'm talking about your home. I'm talking about your business area. I'm talking about your family. I'm talking about your career places. And it says that was in the beginning. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. I can see God still looking at the dark places in our society. Where you work. Looking at the dark places in your business. Where you work. And God is saying, let there be light. Let there be light in the police service. Let there be light in government. Let there be light in our schools. Let there be light in our business places. Let there be light in the church. Let there be light among the youth. Let there be light amongst married people. And there must be light because you are there. Hallelujah. God is still looking at it. He's looking at around us where there is no holiness. And then you are the only person that is around him. Connect with Jesus and let your light shine. When there is confusion, connect with Jesus and let your light shine. Hallelujah. He said, let there be light. And there was light. Hallelujah. Shall we pray briefly? You are where?